Thanks for the preaching of the Gospel. And this evening we're going to read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. The Gospel by Luke, please, and reading in chapter 5. I don't have a Bible, don't worry about that, so we'll try to read as clearly as we can. Now we're going to read part of three miracles the Lord Jesus performed. We're only going to really focus on one of them, but I want to just mention the other two. Verse 4. Luke chapter 5 and verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, that is the Lord Jesus, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for the draughts. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Verse 12, and it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand, and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto them, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. And we do look to God for his blessing upon the reading of the scriptures, and as we consider these verses together. Now in this little passage from Luke's Gospel in chapter 5, Luke describes or records for us three miracles performed by the Lord Jesus. In the first miracle, there was this extraordinary catch of fish. Then there was the healing or the cleansing of a leper. And then we have this man who was paralyzed, who was brought in before the Lord Jesus, and he was given the strength to get up and to carry his bed or his couch and to go to his own house. Three miracles performed by the Lord Jesus. And you might ask yourself the question, well, why choose these three? Why does Luke place these three incidents side by side or in this kind of progression? And I want you to notice with me a very simple theme that is running through these. When this miraculous catch of fish took place, we have read the confession of Simon Peter. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. That was his reaction to seeing this incredible display of divine power. He acknowledged that he was a sinful man. And what we're going to observe is in the following two miracles, we're going to see how the Lord Jesus deals with this question of sin. You see, there are two things that we're going to learn in these miracles. The first, when we think of the leper, a man who was covered with this leprosy, this man understood that what he needed was cleansing. He needed to be made clean. Before God, he was unclean. And one of the effects of our sin is to make us unclean before God. I'm not referring to anything that is physical. I'm referring to a moral uncleanness, a spiritual uncleanness, an unfitness to be in God's presence. You see, God is holy. God is pure. God is righteous. And our sin has rendered us unclean. And in the story of the leper, we discover that if we want our uncleanness dealt with, we've got to go to Christ. John, when he writes his first letter, says this: the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we are conscious of the defilement of our sin, then the solution is found in the Lord Jesus. But then we discover this other incident, remarkable indeed, as we're going to think about in a minute, and a man who's paralyzed is brought before the Lord Jesus. In fact, his friends, four of them we learn in another gospel, went to extraordinary lengths to bring him before the Lord Jesus. They couldn't get into the house because of the multitudes. And they went onto the roof and they broke the roof up and let him down before the Lord Jesus. And you might think to yourself, well, the Lord Jesus is going to say, man, stand on your feet and be healed. No, the Lord Jesus said this: man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Here is Simon Peter, I'm a sinful man. The leper is really teaching us that sin has defiled us. We need cleansing. The story of the man who is a paralytic, who is paralyzed, the lesson we're going to learn in that is the Lord Jesus is able to forgive us. And actually the point of this story is this, that actually the most important problem that man had was actually not his paralysis, but it was the question of forgiveness. The Lord Jesus will indeed heal him from his paralysis, as we have read, but first of all, he forgives him. And I want to make it clear this evening, and I don't know you, but no matter what your circumstances are, in the sight of God, the most pressing thing, the most important issue, is to be forgiven. And that is what we're going to think about for a few minutes this evening. Now, as we focus on this final of the three parables, or the three miracles that we've read together, I want to direct your attention to a number of simple observations. And the first observation I'd like you to observe with me, consider with me, was the availability of God's power. In the house that day, we learn in verse 17 that there were many people, amongst whom were Pharisees and doctors of the law. So here were, in terms of the society at this time, and then Israel at this time, were men who were certainly very religious. Here were the elite, the religious elite. And the scripture says this: the power of the Lord was present to heal that. Do you have a problem with this? It would seem, as we read on, that they didn't realize they needed it. The power of the Lord was available to heal them. But it seems that they didn't realize they needed healing. They didn't realize they had a problem. I want to say this evening, the power of the Lord is available to heal you, to save you, to deliver you from your sins, to rescue you from judgment. The power of the Lord is present. There's a wonderful verse in the epistle to the letter to the Hebrews, and it's this, concerning the Lord Jesus. He is able to save to the uttermost, to save completely all that come unto God by him. I want to present to you this evening a Saviour who is able. Yeah, there's no point us really talking about the Saviour if he's not able to save us. Really, this meeting is a pointless exercise. This man who is palsied, who is paralytic, understood, didn't need to be told that he couldn't save himself, couldn't deliver himself from his condition. He was powerless. But the power of the Lord was present to heal him. And this evening, one of the great steps we have to come to is that we cannot save ourselves. We cannot forgive ourselves. We cannot cleanse ourselves as far as our condition before God is concerned. We're sinners before him. But the power of the Lord is present to heal. And the power of the Lord is present, and the power of the Lord is sufficient to save us. He is able. I wonder if you believe that. You know, in this meeting room this evening, there are many who are Christians. They've trusted in the Lord Jesus. And you say, what does that really mean? Well, it means that we have committed our lives to Christ, that he will save us. He will take us to heaven. You say, Is that what you're depending on? Yes, that's what we're depending on. Or rather, that's who we're depending on. We have placed ourselves in his hand. And we are relying on him. And you say, why have you done that? Because we have been convinced in our souls that he is able. He is able. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And this evening I want to say to you, dear friend, that we simply present to you the Lord Jesus Christ and urge you to recognize that he is able to save you. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. But you need to recognize you have that need. You need to recognize that you cannot save yourself. And there's no point in all the clever ways we think of doing to gain favor with God. God calls upon us to turn from our sins and simply trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is power to save. There is power to deliver. Maybe this evening you're thinking about the detail of your life. The habits that grip you. The sins that bind you. The thoughts that control you. I want to say to you, there is a Saviour who is able to save and deliver and to transform. Now we're introduced in verse 18 to this remarkable incident. The man who was paralyzed, and yet he is brought by, I take it, his friends, and we learn in another gospel that there were four of them, and they bring him, and they seek means to bring him to Jesus. And the next thing I want us to focus on is not now the availability of God's power, but the activity of faith You see, what brought these men to Christ? Why did they come to Christ? Why not somebody else? Well, we learn in verse 20, when he saw their faith. Now, faith is an active thing. Faith is evidenced by action. You see, here were his friends, and they believed that the Lord Jesus was the answer to their friend's problem. They believed that. And not only did they believe it, but the man who was paralyzed believed it too. He believed that the only person who was going to be able to help him was this man called Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God. They believed in him. And because they believed in him, they brought the man to Christ, and their faith was such that they would not be put off. Can you picture the scene? The crowd surrounding the doorway. The rooms full of people. And you might say, it's a hopeless situation. You're never going to get your friend in to meet the Lord Jesus. These men were not going to be put off. These men were in earnest. And they somehow get onto the rooftop. Perhaps there was a stair up to the rooftop. And they start breaking up the roof. You see, that's a bit extreme. That's a bit dramatic. You see, they were determined to get their paralyzed friends in before the Lord Jesus. And this man who was lying on his couch paralyzed was determined to. He wanted to get to Christ. My dear friend, I wonder this evening, how determined are you to get to Christ? You saw their faith. They had a conviction in their heart that Christ alone could save them. And the Lord Jesus saw their faith. Now, faith is something that is the activity of the heart. It's with the heart a man believes unto righteousness. And what we need to understand this evening is the Lord Jesus knows our hearts. He is aware fully of an evil heart of unbelief, as we learn later in the New Testament. But you can also see faith. But faith is only evidence. Faith is active. And it brought these men to bring their friend before the Lord Jesus. It was faith that brought them. The four friends, their faith. And the man who was lying on the couch, his faith too. And the Lord Jesus saw it. And then the third thing I want us to observe, and this is a very important matter that we'll think about now, the pronouncement of forgiveness. When he saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." A tremendous statement that is. Thy sins are forgiven thee. I want you to notice, first of all, just how personal the statement of the Lord Jesus is. In our King James Version, thy sins, or to put it maybe in more common terms, your sins, my sins. You see, this man has personal sins. And the Lord Jesus says, those sins that you committed, I'm going to forgive them. I wonder this evening what these things mean to you. My sins. You see, that's a very old-fashioned word. It's not very modern. No, but it is biblical. It's the language God uses. Sins are a question that are of deepest interest to God. And here is a man, and he's laid before the Lord Jesus, and everybody could see that he was paralyzed. Everybody could see. And yet the Lord Jesus said to him, your sins are forgiven. You say, surely the man's greatest need is his paralysis. No, his greatest need is the forgiveness of sins. You say, why? Because if those sins are not forgiven, this man would never be in heaven. If these sins are not forgiven, this man is heading for judgment. And it's not just unique to this man, it's true of all humanity. But this evening we're not thinking just of all of humanity, we're thinking about us as individuals. What about my sins? What about those wrong thoughts? What about those words that were unwise? What about those words that were just downright untrue? What about those cruel actions? What about those impure motives? You can go on. You just take the Ten Commandments, and how many have you broken them even today? Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your strength? If the claim to be able to do that is not to know yourself, it's a statement of self-deception. My sins, all the gravity of that before God. And here is the very Son of God from heaven, God manifest in flesh, and he addresses that question first. He says, thy sins are forgiven thee. I want you to notice the certainty and the assurance of the words of the Lord Jesus. He doesn't say your sins might be forgiven. He doesn't say your sins might be forgiven if you turn over a new leaf and you live better than you did before. He doesn't say that. With absolute certainty, he speaks these words. Your sins are forgiven. I want to say to you this evening that that's the kind of certainty that the gospel brings into our lives. The assurance of sins forgiven. Yeah, this is the language of the Bible. You, as you go through the Word of God, you come to John again, we've quoted from him already, and he writes to Christians in the second chapter of his letter, he says this, I write unto you little children, because your sins have been forgiven you for his name's sake. Not for their sakes. I wonder this evening whether your sins are forgiven. See, that's why the Lord Jesus died on the cross. That's why his blood was shed. That's why he offered himself a sacrifice that our sins, though many, can be forgiven. And when Paul writes to the Christians in the city of Ephesus, he says, this in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. How about it this evening? The forgiveness of sins. Your sins gone. Not because we deserve it, but because of God's mercy, because of his grace. And I say to you that the Lord Jesus will forgive those that believe in him. When he saw their faith, he said, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. What a relief to know that matter has been settled. That God has taken them away. And you hear the words of Scripture from elsewhere. Your sins and iniquities will I remember no more. It's not that God forgets. He remembers them no more deliberately. What a blessing that is. The pronouncement of forgiveness. But you know, these very same people, these scribes and Pharisees who are sitting there, they're thinking to themselves, who does he think he is? But I don't think they actually articulated this audibly. But in their hearts they began to think and reason. And they said, who is this that speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And you know, they're absolutely spot on. we cannot forgive your sins, and no other man can forgive your sins, no priest or anybody like that, God alone. But you see, the problem with their reasoning was this. They made an assumption. You say, what assumption did they make? They assumed that the man who had said to this palsied man, thy sins are forgiven, they assumed that he was a mere man. And they failed to understand that he was God, manifest in flesh. And Jesus said to them, which is easier to do? Say to this man, thy sins are forgiven thee, or to say to him, rise up and walk? Well, to a human being, actually, neither of those things are possible. But the Lord Jesus raises that man back to give him strength, and he said to him, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine own house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And you say, what was the point of that? What was the point the Lord Jesus was making to them? The point is this, that he was God. And he could do what was impossible to others. And the power of God was exercised in their very midst. And the people who were watching recognized what had happened. They glorified God. They said, who can forgive sins but God alone? They're right. But God was there. The Son of God was there. And in order to demonstrate that he had the authority on earth to forgive sins, he healed the man of his paralysis. We don't know how long he was in that condition, how long he had been paralyzed, but certainly it was beyond the ability of medical science in his day, as it probably still is today, to heal this man completely. Not by some protracted process or course of treatment, but just to stand up on his feet and to walk out of the house. What an incredible thing. You say, who can do that? God can do it. God can do it. And this evening, the Son of God is able to bring into your life that power. And he has the authority on earth to forgive sins. My time is almost gone. I want to close our little consideration by thinking about the reaction to this. That's described in verse 26 of our reading. They were all amazed. And they glorified God. And they were filled with fear. They were filled with fear. One of the problems that we face today is that we have lost the reality of God. A God who is unimaginably great. We have allowed the prevailing worldview that is propagated to bring God down. But you see, to these people in that house that day, they realized that what they had witnessed was nothing less than the intervention of God. And they were filled with fear. See, this was real to them. This was no play acting. This was no play acting in religion or anything like this. This was real. They saw that man brought in on a stretcher, lowered down before the Lord Jesus. They saw him get up and walk out of the house. And divine power was real to them. And they were filled with fear. Now, God does not want us to be in dread of him. But the reality of God needs to grip us. And the reality of our condition before God needs to grip us. Because we need to treat our sins seriously. And we need to give priority to the question of forgiveness and the question of being right with God. God is real. This is no fiction. This is no fantasy. This is no myth. God is real. Forgiveness is real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. These are spiritual realities. My dear friend, do you treat them as if they are real? Or is it some kind of other world as far as you're concerned? Ah, that you would grasp the reality of these things as they're presented to us in these verses. He saw their faith. The Lord Jesus is looking at this company. And he's looking into every heart. My dear friend, I wonder whether he sees faith in him. I wonder whether if he looks into your heart, he sees a heart that is depending on him, trusting in him. And you have heard the words, as this man did, thy sins are forgiven thee. We haven't really had the opportunity to speak, maybe we should have made much more of it than we have. Of course, these words of the Lord Jesus were very costly. Just a few words to speak, but very costly to him. Because he would pay the price for those sins. Those sins were not going to be swept under the carpet. There was a penalty that had to be borne, and he bore it. He bore it on the cross. He endured God's judgment, and those sins committed by that man deserved. Ah, yeah, these are wonderful words, but they are costly words. It cost the Son of God his life. It cost him his precious blood. That he might say to us, that he might say to you, your sins are forgiven you. I trust this evening that we would understand what Luke is seeking to present to us here. The need for confession. I am a sinful man. The need for cleansing. The leper. The need for forgiveness. Above everything else, thy sins are forgiven thee. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank thee for the opportunity of reading the scriptures. And we pray that these scriptures that we have read and considered might make us wise unto salvation. We thank thee for the power of the Lord Jesus displayed in these miracles. We marvel at that catch of fish, the cleansing of a man who had an incurable disease. And the raising and the strengthening of a man who is paralyzed. But we thank thee most of all, O God, for the forgiveness of sins. And we pray this evening that every soul in our gathering might be assured of this by faith in thy Son. We thank thee for all that the Lord Jesus has done, his death and resurrection, that he might make available to us this wonderful blessing of forgiveness. We confess that we are sinners in thy sight, but we thank thee for the free gift of forgiveness, and we thank thee that we can be made right and fit for heaven. So we commend ourselves to thee for thy blessing. We pray that thy word might be a help to each of us. Pray to help us to understand it and to believe in the one of whom it speaks, even thy Son. And part us with thy blessing now, we ask, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.